honor is money. Always in the Bible, it's money. Now, if the elder that rules well is worthy of how much honor? Double honor. The Bible is clear that that's what you got to do, and you got to make sure the one who is ruling well, I'm going to hear, ruling well. Now, if your elder is not ruling well, that's another subject, but if they're ruling well in word and in doctrine, they're worthy of double honor. That's biblical. It may be that some of us don't get double honor because we don't teach the people. And if we don't teach the people, it's because of an embarrassment we have on that part, but I'm teaching you. Now, in this realm, as far as our own ministry is concerned, we've never asked you for red cent, have we? Have I ever asked anybody for any red cent? Sometimes I ask you to help me, some physical labor or something like that, but in the realm of money, the Lord hasn't called me to do that. But I'm still expecting you to follow biblical principles anyway. Okay? Now, concerning the other biblical principle, which is in Malachi, which I'll use the principle, it's in Malachi chapter 3. And it talks about, I'll open up the windows of heaven. Why? How have we robbed thee, they said, in tithes and in offerings. In tithes and offerings, there is a robbery that takes place. He says, bring all the tithes into my storehouse, saith the Lord, and when you do this, I'll pour out a blessing out of the winds of heaven that you cannot contain it. It's been my experience that you just cannot outgive God. Somebody calls it seed faith or all the other things, but it's still a fact. It is a basic spiritual fact that you can't do it. There's just no way. God has a way of filling up at the other end faster than you can pour it out. Nonetheless, our goal and our purpose has to be right since we're in the New Testament. We can't be pouring it down rat holes, you understand, like I was guilty of and those kind of things. And we also have to make sure that the elders that are ruling well are getting a double honor, a double portion. Now it says you're to bring the tithe to the storehouse. In my church, they said storehouse means us. We are the storehouse. I looked it up in the Bible and found out the storehouse is the grocery store. And the Bible says you take your money to the grocery store. Well, in this case, the storehouse was the granary. But in the spiritual sense, the storehouse is where you're fed. And I know many Christians that get their groceries at the A&P and pay their bills at the Acme. I'm going to wait on that. There are just lots of Christians filling their grocery sacks at A&P and walking out the door and turning to the cashier at the A&P and saying, praise the Lord, brother. The Lord will provide. Let's pray for the brother. And go over to the Acme and pay the bill. Am I making sense to anybody?
No.
Not said. Explain it. Well, it's very obvious that if you get a Bob Mumford tape that blesses you, you owe Bob Mumford. If you get a Kenneth Hagin radio program or an Oral Roberts radio program or a Billy Graham radio program where you receive some kind of a spiritual blessing or benefit that you owe that ministry, and that ministry that's been ruling well in word and doctrine is worthy of double honor.
Amen.
So the Bible is clear in this realm, but it's not been taught clearly because the teaching is that you're to bring the money where your membership card is.
Amen.
And one way of making sure that they get your money is through a pledge.
Yeah.
To bind you to your pledge for the whole year. But one of the reasons that I had trouble is my lack of money management of the Lord's money. Now, I'm giving you rules of money management of your own money for your own increase, but you also need biblical rules of money management of the Lord's money as well.
Amen.
And you will have to think in your own minds of those ministries that seem to be feeding. And those ministries need to feed other people. Other people need to hear from those ministries as well. And the Bible is clear that you've got to take care of those ministries so the ministries can continue their expansion and meet the needs of others, not just yours. Okay? Now, at this realm, the teaching is not designed to draw money from you. If it does, it's all right. But I'm not trying to put anyone under condemnation to give to our own ministry. Nonetheless, our own ministry should be in line, in the lineup for your consideration. Is that okay? Fair enough. And we'll let it go that realm. Then you'll have to figure it out where you're getting the most food and where you get your grocery sacks the fullest and those kind of things. Now I want to go to one other step, and then we end it. The kingdom of Uranos, the kingdom of abundance, the kingdom of expansion. If we follow God's plan, there's only one thing that can happen, and that's to expand us, make us bigger, make us fuller. He said he'd pour out the windows of heaven so full that you can't even contain it. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Certainly, God's plan is abundant. There are, in the United States right now, some end-time ministries who are teaching people that God's plan is to run them through the ringer, to run away from abundance, and to go back to poverty living, to take us from our automatic washers to scrub boards. I find no fault with these ministers, but this is not, definitely not my goal, not my vision, and God is not telling me, either in my family or our relationships, to go back to poverty. Years ago, when I was in the Navy, one of my friends, Navy friends, said after he gets out, he's going to go off to seminary and become a pastor in one of the nation's largest denominations. His wife talked to Betty and said, and she'll always have a cloth coat. I want you to think of that for a minute. The cloth coat mentality. You got it? She'll always have a cloth coat. Why will she always have a cloth coat? What is it? Poverty spirit. And where did she get that poverty spirit? From that group that she was with. Well, you know that in the board meetings, they prayed like this for the pastor. Lord, you keep him humble, we'll keep him poor. And if you're going to be in the ministry, and especially a missionary, get ready to be, say it, poor. The poverty spirit. Now this spirit has been brought to us, and it started, and I want to say this without, you know, without anybody being upset, but I have to identify it. It started in the cloistered societies of the Roman Catholic Church. You know what I mean, the cloistered, that is the cloistered priests and the cloistered nuns and the idea of chastity, poverty, vows, and all this kind of stuff, that you might serve God. But you are not taking those vows to serve God. You're taking those vows to serve men and the structured society of the men. Because God never asked for those vows to serve Him, though society asked for those vows to serve it. Come on now. Now, if you're going to be in the new thing, what I'm considering is the new age, and make it into this new realm, your mentality can be toward poverty or it can be toward expansion. Jesus came to give what kind of life? Scroogey life. What kind of life?
Abundant
life. But the structured society comes in and says, no, what you want to do is sacrifice for God. So sign your mortgage over to me. And your deeds, your properties. Take a vow of poverty. Work morning to night for our group. And I'm talking about some end time groups that are in operation in the United States and Canada today.
Amen.
And South America. But I'm not mad at any of them. I've talked with them, and they're nice people. They have good hearts. But their minds are turned toward poverty and lack and need, and the way to be godly is to be poor. I don't believe that. Let's ask Abraham. If God is the God of poverty, and Abraham will tell you how many thousands of oxen, sheep, camels, and goats that he owned. If we ask any of the patriarchs, we will find that obedience to God brings abundance. Even in these days. But obedience to men brings poverty. And if you're bound by a structured society that demands the poverty spirit, stay in that society and get poor or get out. And you get your choice. We're not talking about Clement Stone's Think and Grow Rich. Though that there are some advantages in that kind of PMA. But we are talking about the fact that you can think yourself poor. And my daddy did it. Because he was bound by a poverty spirit. Are you hearing it? You get your choice today of going on into the kingdom of heaven, which is the kingdom of Orenos, which is the kingdom of expansion. Or you can go back to your structured society that will look upon you as a source of their income. Now, at the next stage, I know that I'm on real shaky ground. I know that I'm going to head for trouble with some people.
But the meeting's almost over.
He gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and for the perfecting of the saints, for the unity of the faith, till we come to the perfect man. He gave the fivefold ministry, and I agree. But I look upon the fivefold ministry differently than the normal charismatic. For most charismatics are looking for a return to the fivefold ministry, or a restoration of church order, or a restoration of the New Testament church. How many have heard of these concepts? You get all kinds of books about restoration of the New Testament church. If God is restoring us to where we were, it's the first time in my study of God's patterns that he ever took his people back. I can't see that God is taking us back to where we were. But to me, we're not on a circle where we were perfect with apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. We went into decay. We're coming back into where it's going to be good again in a cycle. I don't believe that, though I used to believe it and teach it. Now I see that we're on a straight line, headed out somewhere we've never been, where eye has not seen nor ear heard, hasn't even entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that love him. In that realm, we're leaving the realm of the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher, and going on to the final time when, do you know, the Bible even says that no man will say, know the Lord, for all men shall know him. Is that biblical? If we pass the age of the apostle, Peter, Thomas, You remember all those guys? Then we went to the age of the prophet, Ignatius, Polycarp. Then we went to the age of the evangelist. I would have to call Luther, Knox, Wesley. Then we went to the age of the pastor. And you figure out your pastors. I would have to say that would probably be the greatest pastor, Moody, Ironsides, Finney. Well, no, Finney would be more in the Wesley thing, or the starter of the thing. Finney was a starter, whereas Ironsides and Moody were pastor types of what has already been started. Okay. Then we're ready for the age of the
teacher.
But if in entering the age of the teacher, and we've all been under the ministry of the pastor, then there's going to be conflict. Now let's analyze this for a minute. And find out your own spirit. Do you have a pastor spirit or a teacher spirit right now? Are you a pastor or a teacher? Everybody here has one spirit or the other. Well, what is the word that we have everywhere? Even the full gospel, they're not saying send us pastors. They're saying send us every place you go. Little hardware store or a meeting or a garage meeting or a basement meeting. What do they want?
Teachers.
Why? Well, because they know that a son, though he is an heir, differeth nothing from the servants, though he be Lord of all, but is under
tutors
and governors until the time appointed of the
Father.
Now the manifestation will be at the time appointed of the
Father,
and the last thing the people will be under prior to their manifestation will be tutors. So what are they crying for now? Tutors, teachers, send me teachers. And we're leaving the area of the ministry of the pastor in the church. I was just over at a church bookstore. And you should have seen all the teaching tools they have. Not pastoring tools, but teaching tools. Overhead projectors, slide machines, tape machines, duplicating machines, all these kind of things. Why? To support the which ministry? Teaching ministry. Now, is it true that Jesus is the chief shepherd?
Yes.
And we're not finding fault with pastors at all. And Jesus said, I am the door. But would you also agree with me that the purpose of a sheepfold is to raise sheep?
Yeah.
And what do you use sheep for? Well, we fleece them, and we eat them. And if our mind is to just build sheepfolds, not the church, but our sheepfold, making sense, then our goal is to produce sheep. And get them in and hold them in. Now, Jesus said you can go in and out if I'm the door. But the underhirelings say, no, you can't go out. You can only come in. Am I making sense to anybody here? Now, with the concept of fleecing and eating, then the purpose of the church is to get more sheep in the church to build a sheepfold. Does anybody know that the only goal of the church, some churches, is the number on the board? This is how we tell, to build a sheepfold. But if you have a teacher spirit, then your goal is to build a tunnel. With two open ends. where the supply shall come in one end, be worked on, taught, changed, adapted, and flow out the other end. A school has doors that open both ways. But a structure only lets them in and makes it very difficult to get out. The purpose of a school is to process the material so that it can get out and get back in society and do its job. The purpose of the structured society is to get you in, to fleece you and eat you. Come on now, I know this is hard, but I want you to think of it for a minute. At the moment, the people are saying, hey, I'm not a sheep, I'm a son. And everywhere the cry is, hey, we're prince and princess, about to turn into kings and priests. And the cry of the heart right now of most Christianity is, show me, teach me. I'll grow up. I'll learn the lesson so that I might be of use. Process me so that I can be a channel in some other place. Are you hearing this?
Amen.
But it's hard on the mind of those of us who were brought up to become pastors. For our goal was not to process the people, but to keep the people. And every time someone left and went off to somewhere else, the first thing we did was send a committee to get them back. Come on. Now, if you have this mentality or this kind of a mindset, you can tell it by your reaction when you go into your parishioner's house and look on the coffee table and find a copy of Plain Truth. Or the Pentecostal Evangel.
Yeah.
Or
New Wine.
Or, and you react. And you pull back. And a spirit of censorship comes upon you that says, uh-oh. Honey, let me tell you, you shouldn't be reading this. Because the spirit of a pastor cores the apples and pits the grapes to protect his sheep from foreign material that would get into their feed and hurt them. Come on now, I want you to see it. Good men, good spirits. But the spirit of a teacher wants them to grow up and find out that grapes have seeds and apples have cores. And isn't afraid to expose the people to plain truth.
Hallelujah.
Or some other form of apple or grape. Whereas the pastor's thought is to remove those things from the fodder, the teacher's thought is to teach the people to eat the grapes and spit out the seeds. And I know this is hard on you, and I know it's tough, but I want you to hear it. Don't hear it because I'm saying it, but let the Spirit work it on you, because until you can get in step with this thing, you're going to find yourself abrasively working against the present move. Because you can hear the present move with the hallelujahs right now. And the people are saying, I want to spit out my own seeds. That's what they're saying. I appreciate the fact that you've been to seminary, but let me core my apples. And until you can grasp this thought, you're going to still be in that old system that we're leaving. And you get the choice. I'm speaking to some pastors right now. How many know we have pastors and teachers here and all this kind of stuff? And you have the choice now of taking this information and throwing it down, or you can wind it up, put it on a shelf, and set it aside to get it down later. But the cry of the heart of the people that are moving on is, I'm not a sheep. I'm a prince or a princess about to turn into a manifest Son of God, joint heir with Christ, a king and a priest. We're coming to the kingdom of expansion, the kingdom of bigness. And at the tabernacle experience, and here's the windup, every man becomes his own priest unto God. At the tabernacle experience, every person builds their own booth. The glory of the Father leaves Moses' tabernacle in the Shekinah and dwells individually on the booth of every man. At that time, every man will have his own hotline to heaven. When things go wrong at the home, you can just call up God and get things straightened out right away. You won't have to call Tulsa. Now, I'm not finding fault with calling Tulsa. I'm telling you, if I had a very serious problem, I'd call everywhere I could. But the time will come, you can call the chief. Every man will be his own priest unto God. He won't need a mediator. There'll be one mediator between man and God, the man Christ Jesus. And that'll be all. Now, we're coming to that change. But can we realize that we're leaving an old system and coming to a system where every man will be a priest? Or are we going to still get to the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, or submission, subjection, bosses, authority? Come on. Now, we needed bosses, we needed authority, we needed submission, we needed subjection when we were Pideon, Pais, and Technons. But we're about to leave the Technon stage and become Kyrios, manifest sons of God. Now, have I found fault with any system? Do you feel I'm finding fault with anybody or any system? I hope that nobody goes away from here thinking, why, he's just mad at the church, or he's just mad at my denomination. No, not at all. Not at all. We need you. We need that denomination. We need that structure. We need that society. But the Bible says the purpose of your denomination and your structured society is defined as a sun-clothed woman standing on the moon. Her purpose is to be pregnant and produce sons of God. Even in the last chapters of the book of Revelation, you do not find God ever gets rid of the church. But he does not give ruling powers to the church. The rule goes to the sons of God that are produced by the church. Are you seeing it? That's why we need our mother, and after we leave mother, we don't kill her. But isn't it sad when we see situations of tied to mother's apron strings, where that person doesn't develop and do their own thing? Father, we turn to mom and say, Mother, I want to do it myself. It's time to let me grow up and do it myself. We're talking to some people who are here at the end of an age and the beginning of a brand new age. They're leaving an old structure, an old society. If you try to take that old structure and old society with you, then you're going to find yourself bound to it and it will not move. You're going to have to be born from your mother, born by your mother, and then cut from your mother. Amen. And be raised by your mother, nourished by your mother, until God takes you directly to heaven, and then you receive your nourishment right there with the rod of iron. Do you remember this? Revelation 12. And the rod belongs to the sons, not the mother. Structured societies have a place in God and will always have a place in God, but will not rule and reign. I believe I'm talking to some people here today who are going to actually rule and reign with Jesus on this earth. I believe I'm talking to some people here who, at the time of the return of Jesus, will already possess their crowns and place them gladly at His feet. When I was in evangelical Christianity, they taught me to get my heart to Jesus and wait for Him. When He came, He would get rid of the bad guys and give the kingdom to the good guys. That's what the song service says. But when I read in the Bible, I found out that when He comes, He will not bring a kingdom at all. But His purpose is to receive the kingdom. When He comes, we will already have possessed it, worked for it, possessed it, and gladly take our crowns and place them at His feet. If you believe this, then you believe that you're going to amount to something more than you are, that you're going to get the crowns, that you're going to... And He said, I give you power. I'm going away until the restitution of all things, till every enemy be made my footstool. I'm not coming back to make the enemies my footstool. You can do it yourself. I give you power now. Lay hands on the sick, cast out demons, do all these wonderful works in my name, and when I come back, you'll possess the kingdom, give it to me, and everything will be A-okay. Now, I want to pray for you, and I want you to agree with me, that you will come into the kingdom of expansion, the kingdom of authority, the kingdom of power, that you will actually become a manifest son of God, wear the crown, and then when He comes back, present it back to Him who gave it to you in the first place. Stand with me while we pray. Father, we ask in Jesus' name for eyes that see and ears that hear. We pray, Lord, that we'll be changed from what we are to what we ought to be. And in this realm, we pray that every spirit and soul and body will be changed. We ask, Lord, that every person here in the Spirit will say yes to Jesus. We believe with the Calvinists, and we agree together that every heart says yes to Jesus, and everybody should have an altar experience saying yes to Him. Now, we believe with the Wesleyans and the Armenians that we believe that everyone should say a second time to the Holy Ghost. Jesus baptized us into the Holy Ghost, changes from what we are to what we ought to be in our mind. We want to receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save our soul even after we're already saved. We ask, Lord, that each one of us will go through those experiences as well. And now we agree that everyone in the physical body will seek glory, seek honor, and seek immortality. Seeking glory for the physical body, seeking honor, money for the physical body, provision for the body, we pray that everybody here will live in a nice home, have a nice auto, have a good job, that have a responsive authority over them, have advances in their jobs, promotions, raises. We pray that every person here will have somewhere to work. We pray, Lord, for those who are still looking for jobs, that they'll find jobs in Jesus' name. I impart jobs right here in Jesus' name. You get a job. Hallelujah. Anybody needs a job, raise their hand right now in Jesus' name for jobs, people that need work right now. In Jesus' name, we impart jobs right now through the power of the Holy Ghost. We give you power to say the right thing and be in the right place so that you can make money, pay your bills in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Now, for those who need a raise, raise your hands. We impart raises right now in Jesus' name. We impart a victory and an abundance coming into abundance right now in Jesus' name for raises and promotions. Raises and promotions right now in Jesus' name. We impart raises and promotions right now to these people. These people are going on. We ask, Lord, that they'll have a mentality of abundance, that they'll have a mindset toward working harder, getting up earlier, staying up later, and doing a good job in Jesus' name. We just trust that we'll have those good jobs. Now, for those who need something in the physical body, raise your hands in Jesus' name. For those who need a physical touch in the physical body, raise your hand real high. For those that are next to you, turn and touch the one that's next to you. For those that are around, I want you to touch in Jesus' name. Laying on of hands, I give you power in Jesus' name. Lay hands on those who have a physical need in the physical body. In Jesus' name, we believe. Touch them now. Reach out. Don't be bashful. If you have to move out of your seat right now, get close to someone who is in need in the physical realm. In Jesus' name, we pray for restoration of the physical body. We pray that these physical bodies will be restored to health. We believe that by His stripes we're already healed in Jesus' name. Receive the healing of Jesus by His stripes for the headaches, the stomach, the problems of whatever they are in the physical realm, the knee problem, the foot problem, whatever they are, torso. In Jesus' name, we accept thy healing. In Jesus' name, the healing of Jesus. Peace right now. Peace over here in Jesus' name. That the peace of God passes all understanding, keeps our hearts and minds, because we're being changed and we're receiving Him in every realm. We ask, Lord, for dunamis healing. That gives a double whammy, Lord, right now. In Jesus' name, we ask for that dunamis power to go through the body to strengthen the physical bodies as well as the minds. Thank you, Lord, for this mind thing, the mind-blowing teachings that we've had. We pray for the physical body as well in Jesus' name. Now we're going to ask for those who want the glory of the Father to change the physical body and put on immortality, and that you'll return. Lord, we pray for immortality. We pray the glory of the Father that will be drinking of the fountain that never runs dry, that the immortality will flow through the physical bodies as well. That the hair will return, that the eyesight will return, that the physical bodies will be strong and healthy. We pray that every woman will be the most beautiful woman and every man will be the handsomest man. We pray, Lord, that you will change us from in the physical realm as our bodies change. Change us, Lord, from what we are to what we ought to be, spirit, soul, and body, in Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God.